in both of those parables, and in the one that comes after it. The one that comes after it is the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, as we used to say. In those three, we're told that there's a party in heaven. Each time one person turns back to God and comes home to God, heaven has a party. I'm not really a party person myself, but I think a heavenly party is going to be just perfect. I want to, those of us who were here when we were doing our Easter cross, remember we did our Easter cross and we put different things on it each week, and it's been a tradition here for years and years. And when we were doing our Easter cross, I can't remember which week Lucian led, but Lucian led his week, and he said, pointing to the cross with all the elements on it, we have the knowledge, what are we going to do with it? And it was that Sunday morning that the questions started, that the requests started, when people began to say to each other, but I don't know what my story is. Are you still allowed to talk about Jesus? Doesn't it offend people? But I don't know anyone to tell my story to. At Pentecost, we thought about the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on the disciples, not so the disciples could have a party, but so that the disciples could leave the safety of their room and go out and tell anyone who would listen the wonders of God. They could go out and tell people about God. So how do we talk about Jesus without Bible bashing? And who wants to listen? Have you heard the word evangelism? Yeah? And it says a couple of times in the Bible that the Holy Spirit gives to some people the gift of evangelism. And you know, that might be quite good to hear, because you might sit there and think, oh, phew, I haven't got to be an evangelist then. I hate to tell you folks, but Billy Graham died. Evangelists in the olden days used to gather loads of people together. They'd preach the gospel, and lots of people would come to faith in Jesus. But have you ever stopped to think about those people before they went to the big gathering? Somebody must have told them about it. Somebody must have talked to them about Jesus. I've read loads of books over the years about sharing your faith and telling other people about Jesus. And in some of them, it makes someone like me feel really burdened, because you read this book, and I'm making this up, I haven't just read this ever in a book, but you go down to Aldi's to do your supermarket shop, and you're supposed to talk to everyone who meets your eye about Jesus. Tell them they're a miserable sinner. Tell them Jesus died so they could be forgiven, and demand that they say a prayer and give themselves to Jesus. I can stand here and say, I know nobody, absolutely not one single person, who came to faith in Jesus because somebody cornered them in the supermarket or the laundress or anywhere like that and demanded that they gave their life to Jesus. Now, you tell me if your experience is different. Do you know anyone that's happened to? So we can scratch that as evangelism then. I'm not saying it's never happened to anyone, and I am certainly not belittling anybody else's experience. But it is outside of my experience, and apparently outside of your experience as well. The Bible doesn't tell us all we've got to be evangelists. But the Bible tells us that we have got to be witnesses. What does a witness do? Anybody call out? What does a witness do? Nigel?
Tell the truth about the sequence of events.
Oh, tell the truth about the sequence of events. Absolutely. They might have seen it. They might have heard it. They might have... What would you... Oh, no, sorry. How was it? I'll come to you. What does a witness do? Don't lie. That is so important. You don't have to put frills on it if you're witnessing about your experience. That's absolutely correct. You just say what you saw, what you heard, what you experienced, what you know. You tell your story, which brings us back to what is my story? How do I find my story? Where do I share my story? So we're all called to be witnesses, although some of us are given the gift of evangelism in addition to that. Why? Why? Why do we want to share our story? So that we can get a bigger church and build an empire for ourselves. Yeah? No? No, absolutely. We are not called to build empires. We are called to build the kingdom of God, one person at a time. You know when someone gets a new hobby? Or when someone meets a new partner? They talk about them all the time, don't they? Is there anyone in this room who's never had a conversation with Doug about trains? For those who haven't, Doug and Jenny are big into their trains. They are. Just as an example, forgive me, my friend. If you sort of, you work with someone or someone in church or in your family and they're talking about Sam all the time and you're thinking, Dino, Nino, no, ooh, who's Sam? But obviously they're getting very close if we're hearing about Sam all the, oh, that's sweet. Oh, I better pray for them and I better meet this Sam and give them a good looking over and see if I approve. And because when you're meeting somebody that you're getting very fond of, you want to talk about them. Like when a child starts school and suddenly, ah, but Miss says... So what do you do in that situation if Miss says something you don't? Evangelism is not about browbeating somebody into the kingdom of God. It says in the Bible, nobody can be argued into the kingdom. It's about helping one person move one step closer to the one glorious and eternal living God. One person moving one step closer to oneness in Christ. And Jen read us two stories, and the one that follows it is a familiar story, the story of the prodigal son. And in that story of the lost coin, the story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost son, we find three things, persons who were lost. When my Angela, who's 51 in a few months' time, my baby, when our Angela was little, when she was a toddler, when she was probably round about Divine's age, I'd been doing some work in the kitchen, and our house was like two up, two down. You could see and hear from anywhere in the house. And I suddenly thought, uh-oh, she's quiet. you know what I mean. Uh-oh, she's quiet. So I come out of the kitchen, and I'm straight in the living room, and I can't see her anywhere. So I called her, and I got no answer. And I thought she couldn't have come past me into the yard, but I checked it anyway. And then I looked in the toilet and she wasn't in the toilet. And I looked again all around the living room. And I went up the stairs, only two bedrooms up the stairs. And I looked and I thought, is she playing? So I looked under the beds and I pulled It was blankets in them days. I pulled the blankets back and I couldn't. And each room I went in, I was conscious that my heart was starting to beat a bit more, you know, boom, boom, boom. And I'm calling her and I'm calling her. And I went to the front door, which was closed, and it was a high up one. You know. So I opened the door and I called her and I ran up the steps and I looked up and down the road and I called her. And one of the neighbours went, you know, what's the matter? And I went, I can't find Orange. And so she called another neighbour who called another neighbour. And the next thing, we're going up and down the street. And they said to me, you stay in the house. Stay in the house in case she comes back. And so I'm going for about the fourth time round the house looking for her. My heart in my mouth, my throat closing up, shouting her. And the neighbours were going up and down the street, looking in everyone's garden, knocking on the doors. And then this little voice called out, shut up, I'm trying to have a nap. We didn't have tumble dryers and things like that in them days, and I used to have a clothes rack that went in front of the fire with three, and the clothes were drying in front of the fire on it, and she decided to go in there and play house, and she'd had a sleep, and we jolly well woke her up screeching for her. As I tell you this story almost 50 years later, can feel me self getting a bit panicky and can actually feel my knees going weak, which is exactly what happened when I realised that she hadn't been kidnapped or lost or ran away. And as I say that, I think almost everyone can think of a story when we lost something that was precious. Your friends, your family, the people down our street who do not yet know new life in Christ are lost. They do not yet know the richness of the love of God. And that's why we want to find our story and get confidence to tell our story, so that those who are lost can be brought home to God, so that they can know life in all its abundant fullness, so that heaven can have a party, because Jesus died so that they could be brought home to God, who loves them and longs for them and waits for them. Does that sound like reason enough to cope with 4 weeks that are a bit different? Yeah? Yeah. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to set the children free to go to junior church, and some of the adults, and Angela and Hayley are going with them, and Hayley's going to do the teaching part today, so we pray for them. And the rest of us then are going to unhook our chairs and get into groups of about 5, no more than 6 people. Now, it has been suggested to me, and I think it's a brilliant idea, that we have a group for the men. Serious. Now, nobody's said this out loud, but it's quite possible that if the men go in the groups with the women, well, we talk about different things. We start from a different place. And there's every possibility that there might be a man or two here who won't get a word in edgeways. So I'm not looking at you. Here, look, so divine needs to say it. We'll have a group for the men. Yeah? Okay, if you want. But if you think, no, actually, I wanted to listen to a mixed group, then you go in a mixed group. It's up to you. So if you need help unclipping your chairs and spread them out, move into this space and things like that. So 5 people, no more than 6. It could be more fun if you're with people that you didn't arrive with this morning. So get to know people a bit more. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for those who first told us about Jesus. We thank you for one another. We thank you that you've led us to look at this subject that seems important to so many of us right now. And we pray, Lord, and thank you for each of the children you've entrusted to this church. May they know Jesus. We pray for them as they go into their group now. We pray for us as we do different and go into our groups here. But our prayer, Lord, is that we will make you known and give you glory and honor. Amen. Amen. Let's go. Just telling you a story about one of the Baptist churches on Canvey Island in Essex. I'd gone there to do the service this Sunday morning, and the minister, who was usually very calm and unruffled, was scurrying to and fro and in the office, and, oh, sorry, Sheila, I'll be with you in a minute, and going and in and out. And I said, Jane, I said, it's all right, I'll look after myself. I've been here before. And no, I'll be there in a minute. And she come back into the office. She said, I'll pray for you now. She said, will you pray for me? She said, they'd started an Alpha course one day that week. Can't remember what day. And they'd had about 10 people they didn't know who came to the Alpha course. And she said, 6 of them have turned up to church. We didn't even invite them. It was only the first week. No one invited them. And the 6 of them, 3 couples, and they're here in church. And immediately my head went to my sermon thinking, well, that won't do. And she'd been getting them Bibles because they'd actually said at the Alpha course that they didn't have a Bible, and that's what she was running to and from. She put Bibles in their hands. And we pray. Oh, boy, did I pray, because I knew I couldn't preach my sermon. And went out there. And to this day, I can't tell you what I said, but I tried to preach the gospel. And 3 of those 6 people ended up, in the olden days then, the preacher would go to the door and everyone would come past and shake hands and say, lovely service, unless the minister was a lady, in which case they'd say, oh, I think your hemline is a bit short, or your earrings were very distracting, or waiter. Somebody once said to me, you do realise that you used a double negative, and that, I'm not often left speechless. That one left me speechless because I didn't know what a double negative was. And 3 of those 6 people, I left with the minister while I shook everyone's hands as they went, because they came to faith in Jesus. 100% the work of the Holy Spirit. But one of their mates had invited them to the Alpha course. They wouldn't have been there if one of their mates hadn't invited them. See the journey, the track. There's so many people involved. Let's pray now.